Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a chus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, ishtav refuah shleim, and bekor of Asar Shloch Ali Yisrael. Hamene beroiv hamakaymois, it says. In most places, the minig is, chein oimrim tachnun bepesach sheni. So Pesach sheni falls in Yetz Hashem this year. Pesach sheni falls on Monday. And we said it happens to be also the second Monday of the Tanesim of Bahab, we discussed yesterday. And there are different minhogim, but in monks they carry on as usual. And they fast Bahab and they line Vayechal. If they've got a minion, you can line Vayechal in Shachris and in Mincha, if there are a minion of people who are fasting. And they say Slichas, and they carry on having fun as usual. So that's that, but there's some places where, because, again, it's a discussion, because in Halacha it says that on Pesach Sheni, it's Osa Behesped. It doesn't say Osa Behesped Uvatanis. So, L'chula Alma, if there's a Levi Rachman that's done on Pesach Sheni, there won't be a Hesped. But maybe Tanis is Mutter, maybe Slichas is Mutter. And as we said, the Slichas were not the part of the original Tanis Bahab. The Tanis Dua Bahab were to be Mechapa for the Averis that one might have done over Yontif. And the Slichos are nothing to do with that. The Yontif doesn't get a mention. I looked right the way through the Slichas of Bahab. They're all about, if you remember, always that there are many Kehilas, I think maybe most Kehilas, where we still say Avarachmim. During the where we say Avarachmim during these days on Shabbos, because even if it falls what, yeah, because of the Crusades, exactly, because it was a period of the Crusades. There were three Crusades in the early medieval times in 1090, and then afterwards around that period, and then afterwards as well. And there were many, many Kehillas that were destroyed. And then there were Khmelnytsky massacres as well in 1648, Tachtat, 1649. And therefore, the Chazal were Mesakin that we say Avarachmim, even if it's a Shabbos when normally you wouldn't say Avarachmim, like Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh, you still say Tachnan during these weeks. So it's sad periods. And therefore, the Slichas that they were Koveya for Bahab were all about the persecutions of the non-Jews. They were all about the wars that were taking place, and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us from that sort of situation. So the minigim rovam koimus, it's just if it that's to do with Bahab. Now we're talking Pesach Sheni alone. On Pesach Sheni alone, in most places we don't say Tachnun and you don't say Kelar Chapaim because it's a Monday, and we don't say Lab Naseach. Because it's a band, well, Kelar Chapaim, because it's a, yeah, they go together.
Where?
Well, on Pesach Sheni, Monday. Hamenech Baroiv Hamakoimus, he says. Amongst you say everything. Do you say Kelar Chapaim? And Lamaseach? On Pesach Sheni? On this coming Monday?
I believe so.
You do?
I'll just check for you.
Well, okay, in the Siddur it says that you don't say it on Pesach Sheni. You know, there's a rule. Do you know the Rosh HaTevis? Aleph, 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 Lamed. No? Anybody know those Rosh Tevis?
Yeah.
Eight Alephs followed by a Lamed. Yeah? It's Im Ein Oimrim Kel Erech Apayim, Ein Oimrim Lam Natseach. So Kel Erech Apayim always goes with Lam Natseach. So therefore Kel Erech Apayim Lam Natseach are not said on Pesach Sheni in Roiv HaMakoymois. Yeah, there are some places. He brings down here that there are some places where they said that, where they do say it. Yeah, and he says some people say that on Tes Zayin, on Tes Rav Be'ir, which is the day after Pesach Sheni, on Tuesday, Svartzidah, they say it.
Doesn't say not to say it.
Right, and Kelach HaPaim, does it say anything?
Svartzidah.
I know, Kelach HaPaim, does it say anything? Well, let's just have a look at the notes here. He says, the Siddur Yavetz writes Pipshitas, yeah, that you can fast Bahab on Pesach Sheni, etc. That was there. So he says, Amini Barova Makoimois. So he brings down here number 6, where we go. Yes. Shari Tshuva, Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, Siddur Horav, Kafachayim, and Luach Eretz Yisrael. He says, the Chazanish Noag Loimer Tachnun Velam Naseach. The Chazanish had the minig that he did say Tachnun, and he did say Lam Naseach on Pesach Sheni Korogil. Do you know, do you say Kelar Chapaim and Lam Naseach on Pesach Sheni amongst? Can't remember. Okay, fine. Yeah. Because he says it's not mentioned in Shulchan. The Chasnish said, Hey Yosef, it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as one of the days when you don't say it. Therefore, the Chasnish was no geir to say Kerach Hapaim and Lam Naseach on Pesach Sheni. But Roiv HaMakomis, I think you'll find, don't do it on Pesach Sheni.
Even the Tachna, it said, it will come a careless Pesach Sheni.
Yeah.
Tachna. Even the Tachna, and it will come a careless, you don't say.
Yeah. And then he says of Chutzlaret.
Started at the Torah Way, Northwest London. Thursday, Yud Iyar, 25th day of the Omer, 8th of May, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, Shlita, Parshas Achrim, Mos Kedoshim. This week's Torah has been sponsored. This Chutzlaret by Mitzvah of Uriel Chesna, whose Mitzvah was last Shabbos. He Rotzen Shizku Harov, Skenov Larav Nachas, Menem and Kol Yotzei Cholatzehem. This Chutz Hashrim, Machayelim, Amilchamo, Shach Sur Votehim, Lesholom, Bim Heiro. I have to come in the middle and do something to it. Not working quite yet.
So should I press anything? Or should
no,
I?
I'll come and press something.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers as usual. It's actually been a while, it's been a few months since I've been the last. So it's for me, it's an honor and a privilege every single time to join you every morning. It's a chashiv, it's an honor, and Hashem should help us. Should be able to continue this for many, many more years. Specifically to thank Dudi, who actually called me. Himself, he said he was here in England, and Hashem should help us as a gesund and to Eurich and Eichesum with Shunim with health. We can invite the Mamshachzan to continue keeping up this wonderful start today. This week's Parsha's Kedoshim, is an interesting Parsha. Pusik starts off and says, Kedoshim Tihi, I want you, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I want you to be holy. Want it to be Kodesh. Why? Why should it be Kodesh? Ki Kodesh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I'm Kodesh. So, obvious question is, why is that a reason? So because he is Kodesh, therefore we have to be Kodesh. Yeah, so Poshim Pshat and Postik, you have to be holy because I am holy. What's the hezbollah, what's the explanation in that? Famous Rashi brings down Kedoshim Tia, says Rashi, have a prishim, men who are royis, even who are virus, a person should withhold himself from doing, should be purish from sinning, from doing things he shouldn't be doing. And Rashi goes on to say, Kol mokum sha'atu moitze, geder erve, every place where we find a geder means like a restriction, yeah? A geder is like a fence from Aroyas, from Aroyas means from inappropriate behavior. Atomoitze Kedusha, we'll always find that the Pusik there will finish off, will mention somewhere in the Pasuk the word of Kodesh, Kedusha. For example, Isha Zoyna Vachalulu is a person, a Kohen, is not allowed to marry Isha Zoyna Vachalulu. So the Pusik says, Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, V'lo Yechal Azaroi, Ani Hashem Mekadishoi. Yeah, and so on and so forth. We see all the psikim that talk about these things always finish off with Ani Hashem Mekadoshei. So just to the Rishon Rashi is interesting. Rashi says Kol Mokum Sha'ata Moitze Geder Erve. As the Rashi specified Geder Erve, that you find a fence for royas, that is somehow the thing that brings Kedusha. Today, the day of the Oime, I think if I got my calculations right, it's 25th, yeah? 25th day. 25th, I think, is Netzach Shabbanetzach, is that correct?
Yeah.
Netzach Shabbanetzach, yes. We know that the weeks of the Oyim are divided into the seven. So today happens to be Netzach Shabbanetzach. So the Sfurim always say that means every single day there's a particular thing that the person has to do that has to do with that day, with that particular day. What is the Netzach Shabbanetzach that perhaps we could take out for today? There's a famous story from the Chofetz Chaim, that they bring down, that it was in the Knesset Gdoile in Vienna. That was the place where all the tzaddikim before the war, many, many Gdoilim from all over Europe came together in one place to discuss various issues that had to be fixed, that had to be done. And at one point, there was the Knesset Gdoile where the Chofetz Chaim actually came himself. And there was a whole shalom, it was in the huge hall, magnificent hall in Vienna. And there was a hall, they had the, underneath was where the men were sitting, and then on top they had the women, the Ezra's Noshim, where the women were sitting on top. And, you know, it wasn't visible, it was higher up on the gallery, but the question was, should they make the mechitze a little bit higher? Some people were arguing, he says, come on, anyway, people can't see it, it's on top of the gallery. He says, we're all from people here, we're going to be busy looking at the gedolim, who's interested to look up there on the women, so it's not necessary to make the mechitza a little bit larger, a little bit bigger. And of course, you had other people there who were more stringent, and they insisted that the mechitza should be slightly bigger. There was a big to-do, a big commotion about it. They decided they'll go and ask the Chofetz Chaim himself, since he himself was there, they're going to ask him what his decision is. They came to ask the Chofetz Chaim, said, who should we listen to? Chofetz Chaim said, listen, I can't tell you who's right. Maybe they're right, maybe they're right. They both have a point. I'll tell you one thing. The Pusik, it says, V'lo yire b'cho er v'astuvar v'shov me'acharecho. That the Rebbeinu Shlulam does not want to see by you er v'astuvar inappropriate behavior, because then he will back out. He won't spend his time with you. You see from this Pusik that the Rebbeinu Shlulam, depending on how much the person is away from inappropriate behavior, that's how much closer the Shekhinah is going to come to us. He says, we all know, the thing we need the most in our life is we need the Ribbono Shel'olam with us. We need the Ribbono Shel'olam's protection, we need the Ribbono Shel'olam's help, the Ribbono Shel'olam's assistant. We need the Ribbono Shel'olam in so many ways, we need the Ribbono Shel'olam so importantly. He says, every little thing that we will do that will create a geder erve, will create another fence between us and erve, that is going to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam closer. So it wouldn't be necessary to do it, but if you do it, then you are actually creating, you're bringing a closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'd just like to elaborate a little bit on this point, what the Chofetz Chaim said. I think there's a very, very deep meaning behind these words. Basically what he said is as follows. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam needs a place to dwell. We know the Ribbono Shel Olam needs a dira b'tachtoin, he needs a place where he could spend kaviyochel, so-called, he wants to spend his time with us. Where does the Ribbono Shel Olam dwell? Where is his place of Ashur, Sashkina? Where does he sit? Where does he spend his time? He spends his time on the gedurim v'sayugim, on the fences. And I think that's a very important thing to we all have, every single one of us, to some extent or another, we have our limitations. Limitations meaning limitations in our principles in life of how many things we limit in our lives. For example, you're going to have Yisrael and you have a Kohen. Kahanim are much more limited when it comes to marriage than Yisraelim. Yisraelim are allowed to marry basically every kosher woman, whereas a Kohen is much more limited. A Kohen can't marry a divorced woman. Kohen Gudel is even more limited. He can't even marry the Almune. So you see that every person has a greater limitations. So the more limitations you have, the more space there is going to be for the Shekhinah to dwell on you. So obviously a Kohen, to some extent, will be more Kudosh, more holy than a Yisrael, because since he has more limitations, then there is, so to speak, more space for the Shekhinah to dwell on him. Whereas a Kohen Gudel has even more limitations, so there's going to be even more space. The exact same thing applies to every single person in Klal Yisrael. The fact is, let's face the Metzias reality. Reality is we live in a generation where we have access to everything and anything. We have access to all technology in the world, and a person could do basically anything. Every single person in Klal Yisrael has certain limitations. So you're going to have one person who has a filter, very, very basic filter on his devices. That's a limitation. He is limited to some sort, some extent or another. He is limited. So he's going to have a certain level of Ashur HaShchinah. The Shchinah is going to dwell in his place because he has made himself a limitation. The dwelling of the Shchinah will be in the limitation. The next person will come along and he will create an even stronger filter on his device. So his limitations have now grown more, so he has created himself more space for the Shekhinah to dwell. And a person who has even stricter filter, then again, he has made himself limitations. But it comes, the same thing applies to not only technology, it applies to places where one would go, where one wouldn't go. So there are places some people wouldn't go to a mixed swimming pool, you wouldn't go, so that's a limit. You have made yourself a limitation. So that limitation, the Shekhinah could dwell there. Other people wouldn't even go to a beach when the weather's a little bit too warm, so they have created themselves a limitation. People wouldn't go to certain places for a holiday because they feel it's not appropriate, so that, again, they've made themselves a limitation. Every person, based on how much limitation he has created for himself, he has now created a space for Shruas HaShekhinah. Now, Shruas HaShekhinah is dependent on how much limitations this has placed. Because the Shekhinah is, where does the Shekhinah dwell? Where has he found the space? In the place where he made himself limitation. The famous Vat, the Heilige Kotzke Rebbe, once came into Bes Medrash, and he asked his Talmidim, I want to ask you a question. So, what's the question? He says, I want to ask you, where is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Where is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Where does he dwell? Where is the Shekhinah? So one person said, what do you mean? All over the place. You got it wrong. Second person said, Shemayim, it's a place of Hashem, got it wrong. Person said, the Beis Hamikdash, wrong. Eretz Yisrael, wrong. Who's right? Ribbono Shel Olam is in any place where you let him in, that's where he is. Ribbono Shel Olam, all you have to do is let him in. The Chofetz Chaim said that where do you let in the Ribbono Shel Olam? In a space where there's limitations. In the place where you have limited, you have created a Geder Erve. Now you're going to notice Rashi did not say where a person restraints from doing inappropriate behavior. That's of course also something. But Rashi says geder erve. Geder erve means if you have created a fence to erve, you have created a fence of keeping yourself back, of restricting yourself from a geder erve. That is where you are allowing the Shekhinah to come in, and the Shekhinah will dwell in a place like that. This is, I think, the oimek of Devim Rashi. Now the pusik says, "Kadoshim ti, I want you to be holy." Now the question is, how could a person be holy? Kodesh is a very large title. How could he get to that place? The Ribbono Shel Olam says a very simple way. You don't have to do anything. Ki kodesh ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am holy. There's nothing holier than the Ribbono Shel Olam. All you need to do is allow me to sit on you. You allow me to dwell on you, to spend time with you, to be with you. And of course, the more you're going to allow me to spend time with you, then the more you're going to be kodesh. So all you have to do is create restrictions, says Rashi. You have to create restrictions, and then you're allowing the Ribbono Shel Olam to dwell with you, and then automatically you're going to be Kudosh, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is Kudosh. You don't have to do anything to become a Kudosh. You just have to allow the Ribbono Shel Olam to be with you, and then automatically you will already be Kudosh. The Seifer, Divrei Cheskel, brings down from the Chozef in Lublin, and he says that the fact is, every time a person does a mitzvah, a person becomes more holy. Yeah, we say that. The bracha we make before every mitzvah, we say, "Asher kedishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu." The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who is, he makes us holy by doing a mitzvah. By any mitzvah a person does, a person becomes holy. Says the Chozef Lublin, people don't usually feel it. A person doesn't usually feel holier when he lit the Chanukah candles. Maybe he does, or maybe he doesn't. After he shakled Lulav and Esrik, it's very rare that a person should feel like a new person after shakling his lulav than before he shakled his lulav. Says the Chozef Lublin, there's one area where a person could physically feel his Kedusha immediately. And that is whenever it is an inyan of Geder Erev, whenever he has created himself a Geder Kedusha, a restriction, or he withheld himself from doing something inappropriately, he will immediately feel the effect. He will feel that he himself has now grown bigger, he has now become a better person, he feels himself holy, he just feels it. It's called Mokum Shata Moitze Geder Erve, Ata Moitze Kedusha. Because Moitze Kedusha means you feel it, you find it, you find the Kedusha, you can actually physically feel the Kedusha. That's what the Chozef Lublin says. We all know, we all need Siyata Deshmaya, we need heavenly assistance, we need Ashkocha Prutis, we need the Ribbono Shel Olam so much in our lives. A person who has the Ribbono Shel Olam with him, he will be so much more successful, because he will succeed, because you have the Ribbono Shel Olam with you, who takes you along, and he protects you, and he helps you, he assists you, and that's in the physical world, and in the spiritual world, and Ba'olam Haz and Ba'olam Habe, in all areas a person needs that. Rashi says, in this week's Rashi says, Melamed Sheparshazi Nemer Behakal Mepnai Sheroiv Gifai HaToyret Liyimbo. because almost all the Torah is somehow connected to this parasha. So the question is, they all ask, why this is a specific mitzvah? Why are you saying that the whole Torah is connected? The answer is, you can't compare a person who is a Kaddish, who is Mekayim a mitzvah, to a person who is not a Kaddish. Some of the holier the person becomes, the more spiritual the person becomes, then his mitzvahs will be entirely different. Kol guf ha'Torah will change. The entire, every single one of his mitzvahs will now change to the better, because by the mere fact that he has now become more spiritual, he's become more holy, then every single mitzvah that he does in his life will now be affected to the better, and he will constantly become a better and better person. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that Ribbono Shel Olam very often feels that the person hasn't got enough heavenly assistance, and he wants to give him even more heavenly assistance. So, for example, if he sees that the person needs some extra protection of some sort, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give him the extra protection. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam do? The Ribbono Shel Olam sends them a challenge in this particular area of Kedusha, of this, in this particular area. He sends them a certain challenge, and we have challenges all the time. And I think as long as we're human beings, we are going to have challenges. And if there's anyone in this room who has never had a challenge in this area, then he's obviously not human. And then you should kindly leave the room, because I don't think any one of us need to have people who are malochim, who are angels. We are people, we're human beings, and we all have challenges. But there's very often the Ribbono Shel Olam sends challenges to a person. And what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is that you either way you win. It's a win-win situation, I'll tell you why. Because if the person overcomes it, then what happened now is, he has now created an unbelievable mokum of Ashura Sashchina. Because whenever you find yourself, you're restricted from doing inappropriate things, whether it's actively doing anything, or whether it's thinking about something or talking about something, whenever you actually withhold yourself, you have now created the space of Ashura Sashchina. Then this person is not going to have a heavenly, special heavenly protection. More than that, even if Cholila V'Chas, which very often happens, that the person does not overcome it, the challenge, and he does fall, but if the person is Eilich Yid, at some point you will make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, like every Eilich person does from time to time. He makes a Cheshbon and says, this cannot continue this way. I keep on falling, I keep on stumbling, there's something wrong here. So what will he do? As if he's an Eilich person, he will now create himself an extra limitation. He'll create a Geder Ervis. If, for example, he has noticed that his filter is not strong enough, and therefore then he will get himself a stronger device, a stronger filter. So either way he wins. So either he won because he actually overcame the challenge and he did not do what he didn't have to do, or he overcame by, even if he did fall through, but the fact that caused him to now create a gather erva, to create a bigger, stronger fence, then now he has now received a more heavenly protection. Because the more gather erva we have, then the more heavenly assistance, the more heavenly protection we will have. It says in the Mishnah we all had, and for those who learned after Yom, you had it very recently in the end of Masechtas Makkos. The Mishnah there says, the Pusik says, Aile Ishmaltam es chikoisai, ves mishputai, ashiyase oisoi ho'odom vochai bohem. The person should live with them. And the person goes on to say, that what's this mitzvah that the person should do? It says the Pusik, ish ho'kol sha'ar besurah lesikrivi legalas erva. So the Mishnah itself asks the question. If the pusik starts off, Eilehem, a mitzvah, yeah, Shmar Termes Yichoyesei, you should actually do a mitzvah, and the person will say, you should restrict yourself from not doing what you shouldn't do. So why is that considered a mitzvah? So the Mishnah says that any person who had a vayri that came his way, and he kept himself back from doing what he shouldn't do, that's considered ki'ili kaya mitzvah. It's considered chazal ki'ili kaya mitzvah. But we've noticed a different thing, that this is the only time where we find in the Torah says the Lushan V'chai Bohem, that you will live. And V'chai Bohem says, say the Mefarshim, means, obviously it means V'olam Haba, that in the world to come he will live for eternity. It means, of course, also V'olam Hazeh Kipshuto, it means the person will receive longevity. He will receive chayes, mean in quantity and in quality. His life will become so much better. The only time where the Torah says V'chai Bohem is when it comes to this particular area of restricting yourself. And the reason is very simple, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is eternal. The Ribbono Shel Olam is unlimited. So the more the person brings the Shechina on himself, then the more he will be zeuchet to eternity. He will be zeuchet to the Chai Behem. His life will, of course, become, his quality of life will become so much better. So this, and the Pusik Taka finishes off, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem, why Ani Hashem? Because he's trying to explain why is he's going to be zoicha to eternity. The reason is because I am the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and I am eternal. So by bringing me into your life, by allowing me to dwell in your life, to spend time with you, then you're now going to receive nitzchias, you're going to receive eternity. There's many stories of people who have actually done things in this area and have been zoich to special assistance. I'll just repeat two stories which I heard firsthand, and therefore I think it has a certain chashivas of this particular topic. First story is when I was living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So I had a neighbor in my building, who wanted to try to get his son into a particular school. It was a very prestigious school, tried to get his son in, and I just heard about it because I was very friendly with the headmaster of the school there. So he kept, he told me this actual thing. So he told me that, that your neighbor came to me yesterday. That's what the headmaster told me, and he says I was so blown away of his strength. He says this person came in. Obviously, he had some sort of device that he maybe shouldn't have had. And the school didn't want to take his child in. They felt, we take a certain standard of people and you don't fit that standard. And it was a device which the person used a lot and he needed it and he was obviously very, very connected to it. And he came in with his wife, both were there in the office together, and both of them said, listen, hey, we want our child to come to this school. We want to become better people. We know it's going to be extremely, extremely difficult for us to get rid of this device, but here you are. I mean, you're leaving this device here in your office. That's it. We're not taking it along with us. And that's the end of it. That's what these people said. It takes, you can't imagine what strength it takes to do such a thing. And, he was telling it to me just as a way of giving a compliment to this person, how much he's, it's an unbelievable thing of this person to do such a thing. I was really blown away. Because he wasn't, as you would call a Ben Toira of that sort. He was a regular Inga man. And I really was blown away. That Shabbos, this Inga man went on holiday to the north. He went to Tzfas. He came back, on the way back home, he had a head-on collision on a motorway with a truck. Now, I don't have to explain to you what usually happens when a car hits a truck on a motorway, a head-on collision, what usually happens. I think the results usually are very clear. I'll tell you the results of this story. The truck driver died on the spot. His entire family came out, I can't say without a scrape, they were badly bruised. Every single one of them was alive, healthy and well, and they were released from hospital 2 days later. That's something which it completely, the police came there and said it defies all logic. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He happened to have just gotten a new car, which happened to have arrived, it wasn't meant to arrive then, but it arrived a week early. He had imported a car from America, which was more like a stronger Jeep with some piece of metal on the front. Whatever the story was, you could explain it at Fidel Chateve. There's no doubt in my mind. And he himself said it. He went to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe told him exactly the same thing. There's no question that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted to send him this extra special assistant. So what did Rebbeinu Shel Olam do? He sent him that he should try and get his child into the school, so that he should make this extra limitations, he should create this Geder Elve, and this way he will now receive an extra dosage of heavenly assistance, which will protect him, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam knew that there's a, that the Chavila V'chas, there's something waiting for him which doesn't seem to be good. And when the person, he did that, and he did what he was meant to do, he created himself this extra space for the Ashurus Hashkin of heavenly assistance, and he was saved, him and his wife and his three children were saved from, I could say, something which is completely, completely beyond the Derech HaTeva. That's one story which I remembered my neighbor. I know the name, I'm not going to say the name obviously, but it's something which I saw first time. I had already heard before the story happened that he had given up his device, and therefore it was obvious that this was the reason for went on. That's one story. Another story that happened, also I heard it from the person himself, a person who runs a big office, does a lot of business. Person is he runs a big business and he does a lot of course, a lot of wiring and sends money here and there, and he has to build properties and buildings and construction, whatever it was in. He said he once got a telephone call from the bank manager, his bank manager, and he says, "I just want to confirm. I see that you're making a transfer of 100,000 $1,000. So I just want to confirm that it's you and that you're willing to make the surgery. Before I put the wire through, I want to confirm that it's you. He says, $100,000? What on earth are you talking about? He says, yes. You sent me the email that I should do this wire. So I think it was actually the secretary who called him. Secretary sent me the thing that I should do this wire. I just want to confirm that it's you. He said, absolutely not. It wasn't me. Basically, what they found out was that his system had been hacked by some Chinese hackers of some sort of hacking. The hacker had managed to get into his email account. He had managed to get all his information. And this hacker was sending an email to his secretary from an email which looked exactly identical to his, maybe one letter different. And the names, everything, the signature, everything was there. And the last minute, he was about to make a transfer, I think it was 100 dollars, even more, and the last minute he was saved. He asked the secretary, let me ask you a question. You've been working for me for 10 years, and we've been making wires backwards and forwards for about 10 years. The way it works until now was, I sent you an email, you sent the wire. I sent you an email, you did the wire. You never, ever before asked me before you did the wire whether to approve it. It was obviously, any email that comes from my email, you did the why. Why this time did you decide to ask me before you did it? He says, I'll tell you why. I'll be very honest with you, I'll tell you why. He says, this person had accepted upon himself that the secretary was a woman. He will not call this woman on a first name basis. He will call the woman on the last name. He made himself a gathered restriction. He's not going to try to keep a distance. He's going to always call on the last name. Every single time he spoke to her, he called her Mrs. So-and-so. Whenever he sent an email, he said, Mrs. So-and-so. This is one thing which the hacker did not pick up on. And he obviously knew the name of the secretary. So when he wrote the email to the secretary, he wrote the first name of the secretary and the last name. The secretary said, this is very strange. You never, ever before in your life sent me an email with my first name and last name. I knew something is fishy. So I just wanted to confirm to make sure that it's you, because I wasn't sure it was you. So I called you up to confirm, and he was saved £100,000. $100,000, I think it was... And he was saved, and I heard the story from the person himself. It's not the person himself said the story. It's an unbelievable story where he was able to have any protection simply by the fact that he made himself a restriction. Finish off with a yesod from the Shomer Aminim Rebbe. He said there's a Kabbalah. People are now looking for skulas all over the place. People like skulas. He says a skula budikim in this. He says a skula which works always. He says when a person is faced with a challenge in this particular area, and he keeps himself back, he says it's a tremendous Eisrutzen, it's a tremendous time which he is now able to ask whatever he needs, whatever he wants. It's a tremendous, tremendous Eisrutzen, says Hazel Hashem Ramin. I think the vote is, the explanation of that is a very beautiful thing which I heard from Reb Don Segal. Reb Don Segal said a beautiful thing. He says, we find in Chazal that the tefillahs of a person comes up to Shemaim, there's a mesach hamavdil. Yeah, it says in Chazal that Hashem, sometimes he doesn't want to listen to the person, he creates a barrier, he creates a metal barrier that should not allow the person's davening to come up to Shemaim. Why did Chazal have to say that he creates a metal barrier, asked Reb Don Segal? Why can't he just say, the Rebbeinu Shalom listens to the davening, and he just says, thank you, but no thank you. I decided not to help you, I decided not to listen to you. Why do you have to create a barrier? Says there's no such thing. A child who asks his father, the father will give in. That's a fact. When you ask your father in heaven, you ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, if your tefillah would come into Shemaim, he would listen to you. So what does the Rebbeinu Shalom do? He creates a metal barrier. Zukter Don Segal, that's only as long as the metal barrier is there. If you somehow manage to get rid of that metal barrier, then your tefillah will immediately come to Shemaim, then there will be no way he won't be able to listen to you, he'll have to listen to you. Says Reb Don Segal that what all you have to do is get rid of that barrier. That barrier is what, just like the Chofetz Chaim said, is whenever a person creates a gather erbe, he creates a restriction, then he has now brought the Shechina closer, he has gotten rid of that barrier. So that's what the Shemir Minim Rebbe says. That's why this is a time when you could ask for whatever you want, because since there's no barriers anymore, and there's nothing stopping him from his davening come to Shemaim, then the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to give him immediately. This is a void of in Kadosh and Tiz, the Rebbeinu should help, that we should all be zoiche to do this thing. It's not an easy avodah, and it's a lifetime mission, but it's something which is so worthwhile, and people could see the results straight away. The Rebbeinu should all be zoiche to be emes in Kadosh, and to all the shuls to Shem.
Sorry, I didn't manage to understand the first story. What did the person do? Get a child in school or something?
First he tried to get a child into school.
He
had to give up his device.
What?
Basically, the school said that if he gives up his device,